We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good afternoon or morning, whatever the heck it is.
Patrick Manley.
Patrick has some great hair. His hair was sweet, man.
He was a Bear for a really, really long time.
Three things you got to do. You got to snap, protect, and cover. I feel like I can do all three pretty well.
Score Bears pregame host.
Coaches say you got to go find a butt. You run off a butt. You run off, you know, your jersey's butt.
252 games, zero solo tackles, but all of your heart.
The level of leadership that he brought in the sense of camaraderie and teammateship.
Patrick Manley with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Patrick Manley is brought to you by your local Ford dealers and the Ford Tough F-150, the official truck of the Chicago Bears. He's on the Alpamati Ford hotline, over 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Well, you've had some time to digest this, Patrick. Does anything feel any better, or is it all as bad as it seems?
Offensively, I think it is as bad as it seems. I watched the game again this morning, and it's all across the board. It's just ugly from, you know, the lack of run plays that everybody's talked about, but just the execution on the outside of guys, you know, the tight ends not blocking well. The fumble Anthony Miller had, that little end-around sweep or whatever you want to call it, is Trey Burton and David Montgomery out there, you know, trying to figure out who to block. They don't block anybody, so Anthony Miller gets stuck and the ball comes out. It's just little things like that. It's happening, you know, basically every play and the run game, you know, it's going to be talked about all week. They need to just commit to it and figure out a way to put their guys in positions to succeed. Another run play early in the game was a one-back power where Adam Shaheen got beat on the inside and Cody Whitehair is pulling. And normally if you're running the ball up the middle, you hit the color. You know, you take the other color and you try to just drive that out. Well, he takes Adam Shaheen about 5 yards down the field, and they make a play there defensively. So there's just a lot of stuff going on all the way across the board. It's not pretty.
Pat, I want to stick with the run game, and I'm going to play something for you from Matt Nagy's postgame, not because you didn't hear it, but I'm wondering if, you know, making sure everybody else had heard it. And it drove me crazy. Our guy Kevin Fishbane asked the question about that first run play of the game being a gut punch. I'm going to play it, and then I have a question for you as it concerns the run game. Here's
the
post.
One play, but the first play of the game with Tariq, I mean, is that a bit of a gut punch after everything you guys have
done? you're right. It is. It is. What was it, 2nd and 10?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little bit of a gut punch. Yeah. It's a good way to put it.
I don't know how the first run play of a game that goes for 1 yard could possibly be a gut punch. You've got the rest of the game to play. And secondly, you and Olin have talked a lot about how an offensive line needs to know that they'll get another chance to run the football. So when your coach after the game says, yes, that's a gut punch, how do you trust that you're ever going back to run the ball again?
I don't think they do. I mean, that's just unfortunate. I mean, that's like, you know, early in the game, the game plan is set up all week. You talk about it in meetings. This is what we're going to try to do. And I guarantee you, they mention it like they did to us in the media and as fans, that we're going to try to run the ball. And then as an offensive lineman, you don't call the runs. Then you start questioning, you know, what the heck's going on? Why are we practicing inside run on Wednesday? Why are we doing run period on Thursday if we're not going to run it? I'm shocked to hear him say that, to be honest with you. He should, my opinion, you don't admit that. You don't want the O-line to hear that. You want to have their back a little bit. But, you know, that's obviously what happened. It was a gut punch to him, and he was scared to go back to it.
To me, it comes down to something that almost sounds like a Zen cone when you say it out loud. Either they can't run because they won't run, or they won't run because they can't run. You know, I'm not sure. Both are unacceptable. You know, say we don't do it because we can't do it. No, we can't do it because we don't do it. At some point they're stuck. He's mentally stuck in something from which he can't extricate himself. And I don't know if it's just how he's hardwired once he gets into a game. I don't know what's on that sheet, Patrick. And it's possible that he's got all kinds of ideas and he just abandons them. Or it's all lip service and he has no intention of doing what he says.
I don't have an answer. You said it there. You just don't, because you don't know what he's thinking. But, you know, it might be to the point where – We had Reuben Brown yesterday on the pregame show. And by the way, that was very entertaining. Dan, I think you've talked to him a few times.
Oh, he's
a very
great.
Entertaining dude. And Olin asked him about the K-gun back with Jim Kelly and, you know, spreading out five wides and running the ball. I'm wondering now that, you know, watching this tape again, the tight ends are really struggling in the run game. Just take them out and try to run the ball. Spread them out as much as possible and see if you can let the five guys up front block. Yes, they can load the box a little bit, but you take that little variable out. So I don't know what they do. You know, Olin's talked about trying to get the draw game going with Tariq Cohen, which is a great idea. It's all across the board. It seems like one person is just not getting it done right, and it's scaring Nagy. And I wish he would commit to it because one of them is going to pop. They do. You know, Latavius Murray during the game had limited number of carries and limited yards in the first half and then went off and went over for 100 yards in the second half. So it's that run game is what it is. You have to continue and stick to it, and then they start popping, and then the O-line gets hungry, and they just start, you know, the ball gets moving a little bit more.
With both the run game and pass pro, how did you think the offensive line looked now without Kyle Long? Were the issues more of the same, or were they, I don't know, more like growing pains trying to accept a new guy into the five?
No, I thought they looked pretty good, but late in the game, Dennis Allen, the defensive coordinator, started bringing a lot more blitzes and pressures when they got the lead like that, knowing they're going to pass the ball. So they broke down a little bit in that regard. Sometimes they brought one too many, and the ball just had to come out early, which is a smart thing to do because you're limiting the downfield throw. But the first three quarters, I thought they played pretty well in the pass protection. And Rashad Coward, for being his second NFL game, this kid's got a chance.
What's going on with Roquan Smith, and where are the impact plays? Where is everything we thought that this could be an all-pro year for the guy after last year, and he's invisible?
Yeah, he played better this game than he did in Oakland, but I don't know. It just seems to me, I don't know if it's film study or whatnot, but one of his biggest strengths is his instincts. He always seemed like he knew where the ball was going to go, and he would meet the ball carrier there or beat the blocker there. And that doesn't seem like it's happening right now. I don't know what is causing that. Is it maybe just a little confusion in what the defensive call and what his responsibility is? But that's always been his strength. That was his huge strength at Georgia. I think I've told you before, I talked to Mel Tucker, his defensive coordinator there at Georgia, and he just said how much of a gym rat he was, meaning that he's just always in the film and kind of knew what was going to happen before it happened. And it doesn't look like that's happening right now.
How much of that is due to the defense missing Akeem Hicks and that presence in the interior? How much did his absence really affect the Saints' ability to run the ball?
I think anytime you lose a guy like that, it's going to hurt. But overall, I thought they did pretty well. Bilal Nichols early in the game had that nice stop on third down. Played really well with a broken hand. But it's just that time of possession, man. When you're doubled up in time of possession and you're on the field that much, the defense is going to give up yards. They're going to start leaking. They're tired. That's just what it is, and that's why they started to run the ball as well as they did against them.
What does it mean for a team to get two punts blocked in a game, and what are those meetings going to be like?
Oh, that's not fun. I've been in those. The first one was just a complete miscommunication up front. It's the old pick twist. It's like the number one thing a long snapper hates to see or potentially lined up in front of you that can happen. And it's just that's one where all eight guys, nine guys up front have to be on the same page. They brought in two corner rolls, so they went from six box to eight box, which means the count changes. So what you're basically saying is recount, recount. So you're going from outside in, 1, 2, 3, 4 to the right, 1, 2, 3, 4 to the left. And then now the personal protector and the centers have those fours. And they ran a pick twist where they had the down guy on the right of Pat Scales, picks him, and then the looper who was standing up came around scot-free. And watching the tape, I can't tell if it was the way we used to block it with Tabor under Tobe. It's the personal protector missed the protection. He did not follow the looper. He and Pat Scales got a miscommunication. Sometimes now some of these coaches try to outsmart themselves and put the guard on the three instead of keeping or put him on the four instead of keeping him on the three. And looking at the tape, that could have happened as well. So I'm sure Chris will have the answer to that later in this week. But that's an issue where, you know, you go over tape all week, you're prepared for it, and then you just blow a gasket mentally, and that's what happens, and that's why that's such a scary play, the fourth down punt.
Pat O'Donnell gets a helmet sticker and a butt pad for kicking that thing out of the back of the end zone, right?
That was smart. That was really smart. That's just a heads-up play. That's a play that, you know, younger guys don't think about it in that situation of the game. That's as you get older, you hear how the game slows down, where situational footballs actually can play in your head while the play is going on, and that was a great play by Pat.
And that's a gutsy, not to make too much, I mean, there are very few positives, but that's a gutsy play too, or at least I thought, because you're swatting your outstretched arm at a football that 3,000-pound men are all diving at. That's just – that's weeks on an IR, and the Bears trying to have to find a new punter. If, I mean, that's a gutsy, gutsy play.
Connor, that's a punter being a football player.
You know what?
We were sacrificing his body for the team.
We were saying that. Damn it, we're going to point it out.
Do you remember the play in Foxborough when Todd Sauerbrunn ran down a returner on a diagonal, like over 80 yards to save a touchdown? And everybody was saying the same thing, like, wow, this guy may be a complete a-hole, but that's a hell of a play by a punter chasing a guy down with the angle. And we were saying the same thing. Look at him.
That was a
football.
Smart play.
Yep.
That was a smart play. Hey, guys, I hear that you are allowing meatball callers.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely open season.
Can I give my meatball take?
Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
Let it rip, baby.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Sit Allen Robinson.
Oh.
You want to know why?
Wait.
Because all he does is look at Allen Robinson. Run the offense without Allen Robinson and see if he can finally throw it to the open guy.
I like it. It's so crazy, it just might work.
Okay.
Let's take the one effective offensive player off the field just to prove a point.
Well, every snap, Dan, he's going right to number 12.
I know.
Every time. And there are other guys open. You know, Nagy is... He hasn't lost it completely. I just think he's lost it in the run game. But he still is scheming guys open. But Mitch just can't help himself, and he goes to 12. And, yes, Allen Robinson is outstanding. And there are some mismatches where he's going to win no matter what, and you want to throw it there. But there are other times where Anthony Miller and everybody else, or Tariq Cohen out of the backfield, is open. And he's throwing to Allen Robinson, who's covered. But, yes, he's open if you want to – he's always open. But – run the offense without Allen Robinson and see what happens.
It's the Manley toolbox of concepts.
There we go.
I like
there
it.
There we go.
I'm open to anything because I
know.
I'm at my wit's end. And look, in all seriousness, when something like this happens and the coach ends up looking and sounding kind of like a boob, what does that do internally? What does that do to his standing, his ability to look these professionals in the eye and command their respect?
Well, here, I also think this. He's a young coach, and he had no adversity last year. Yeah, they were 3-3, but it wasn't this bad last year. I think he's still learning. I think he's still learning how to talk to the media, how to deliver the right message. I watched that press conference afterwards. He's never been in this place before as a head coach, and I think he mishandled that a little bit, and I'm sure this morning when they're meeting, he's going to correct all that and give the right words to the guys to get them going. But I still think he's learning. You know, he's in his just in his second season as a head coach, and I think that's the only that's the issue to me is what's going on. I know guys like him a whole lot, trust him a whole lot. I just think he mishandled that situation yesterday.
There's a lot of people who you know, because Dan has lifted the embargo on any kind of meatball take. A lot of people worried or wondering that Mitch Trubisky's play will take down Matt Nagy as a coach. I don't see that happening. I see it much more likely that he gets a new quarterback. I just don't know how likely that is to begin with.
Yeah, I agree with that. And we keep saying it's early, but darn, it doesn't look good right now. But tell him do not look at Allen Robinson first. Or scheme that Allen Robinson is the number two option.
I don't want to give
him
more.
Just stop making
him
take the ball and throw it to Allen Robinson.
But it's so many things are wrong with this processor. Whatever is going on, can they reboot him? I mean, can they unplug him? Can they reset him to factory defaults? Because whatever's going on everything's all cluttered and corrupted. And he looked better under Dowell Loggins.
Well, okay, then you run the ball, then you run play action, and you give him one or two options. You know, that's your offensive game plan.
God, I'd love to do that.
But is Matt Nagy going to run the ball? That's the way you limit him. You take the ball out of his hands by handing it to the running back. Keep David Montgomery on the field for 3 to 4 straight plays. Hand him the ball 3 times in a row. If you got a punt, that's better than 3 missed passes.
I guess.
So, it's just, you know, the only thing to do is to reboot him, is to change the offense a little bit and limit the ball coming out of his hand.
Pat, love you.
You bet, man. Patrick. See you. Enjoy the day.
Oh, we already are. <All right. laughs> Well, let the record show he gave us the sit Allen Robinson hot take.
And now the challenge is out. Beat Pat Manley's Bears meatball take.
Top that. This segment brought to you by Fast Park and Relax. Indoor airport parking serving Midway Airport. Getting to the airport is stressful. Parking shouldn't be. Fast park and relax. A new indoor parking facility. 2 minutes from Chicago's Midway Airport. Only $11 per day. Go to thefastpark.com for reservations. Their van will take you from your spot to your terminal, thefastpark.com.
I know it's not the same, but you see the way the Minnesota Vikings have kind of fixed what ailed Kirk Cousins in that offense lately? You checked in on that at all? I mean, they're hitting play action passes.
Throwing down
field. They've got big chunks. They're cutting down the reads a little bit, and he's hitting guys with deep balls.
And they're not letting plays develop that start to go south on him in ways that things never end well.
Which is hard to do, and there will probably be a play or two. Like Kirk Cousins isn't – I mean, he's not changed. He's not suddenly fixed all the things that made him Kirk Cousins his entire first 10 years in the NFL. He's still Kirk Cousins. He's just on a little bit of his heater right now. Like, that's what this is. This is who Kirk Cousins is. So the reason I bring it up, and I don't think Mitch is as talented as Kirk Cousins is, but the reason I bring it up is because they have a run game that through which they've allowed Kirk to use play action, which sets up the two things that Patrick Manley told you play action sets up just a couple of seconds
ago. You've got to start somewhere. You've got to start somewhere.
That somewhere has to be a conviction on the offensive side of the coaching staff that says, we know that Mitch can do this. And I think that's why when you hear in the postgame Matt Nagy's kind of resignation about him missing Taylor Gabriel on that wide open corner route, the one that he's ripping in practice and hitting over and over again, when he doesn't do that, when you know he's a reps guy, when you know he's got to see it go down a couple of times in practice and then just airmails it in the game, that has got to be deflating. Absolutely disappointing.
Got a lot of calls lined up. We're going to continue to do that because that's what we do in a Built Ford Tough Bears Monday. Also next, we're going to give away your opportunity to attend Bears Radio After Dark with Roquan Smith tomorrow night at Carmine's on Rush. You got to be the lucky caller, and we're going to give that away in just a couple of moments on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You know, with some things that we did wrong, some miscommunications that we left out there, that I feel like we left some balls on the field that we supposed to have. But you know, we just gotta come in and get better. We just gotta come back in, you know, starting tomorrow. Just have a meeting with us just to see what our identity is, what we're gonna do, how we're gonna respond. And you know, it's getting frustrating, man, to see the type of team we have and to keep going through the same phase. You know, I know Keem is down, and like I said, man, it's hard to replace a guy like that. You know, especially how good he is. So it's just time for everyone to step up. You know, players, coaches, everyone. We just gotta step up as a whole.
Bears safety Eddie Jackson this morning on The Score with Mully and Haw. The segment brought to you by the Chicago Fire Soccer Club. The Chicago Fire are headed back to Soldier Field in 2020. Join the movement today by placing a $20 deposit applicable to any 2020 ticket package or single game ticket, including the club's Soldier Field home opener versus Atlanta United. Visit chicago-fire.com to learn more. Built Ford Tough Bears Monday means we take phone calls and everything's on the table. Everything's fair. Whatever your crackpot theories are,
bring them on.
Or
it's the McCaskey's fault. I got something for you. You know what nobody's talking about? The general manager.
Make sure you tell us that no one's talking about it.
Whatever.
If you think no one's talking about it, be sure to tell us.
Whatever it may be, all easements are granted today to just bring it to us. Simon in Peru, you're on The Score.
Hey, guys. How's it going today?
What up, Simon?
Good. So Matt Nagy is a broken record, and I cannot stand it anymore. What have we been hearing the first 6 weeks of the season, the past 2 years? You know, got to get the run going, got to get it going. And I don't know if he's lying to us or he's lying to himself, because he just he will not do it. One rush or seven rushes, excuse me. It's nothing I've ever seen before, and he really is like losing a lot of trust here, and he might just be a liar. I don't know what's going on.
Simon, appreciate it, man. Yeah, you haven't seen it before. No one's seen it before. The seven carries for the Bears last afternoon was a franchise low.
On Walter Payton bobblehead day.
They have never rushed fewer times than they did yesterday. Ever. It's 100.
And they can't throw the ball downfield. Let's add that, too.
They don't really seem to.
Right. Ted is in Park Ridge. Ted is on the score on Bears Monday.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. Not much good about it, obviously. I mean, how can we end last season as fans feeling uplifted, upbeat, of like, boy, they did a lot better than we could have ever expected, and watch it all literally fall apart so quickly? You've gone from having what looked to be a solid offense in its own way, at least much better than we were used to seeing, to now you take a look at that line, and after 1 week of watching Oakland's monsters on the offensive line being able to run block, these big bodies for New Orleans being able to run block against what's a pretty good defense ordinarily, all of a sudden every position except Allen Robinson and Eddie Pinheiro has become a project. And when I say every position, yes, the general manager and, yes, the head coach, but everybody has become a project. And the one place they claimed we had a project was a downhill running back, and they let him go, and now they can't even figure out how to put a tight end into lead block or consider getting rid of Mike Davis and getting a fullback.
Thanks, Ted.
Let that presented without comments.
Yes, that stands on
right?
its own.
Yes, mm-hmm. I think that could be its own freestanding part of our Built Ford Tough Bears Monday. But it's been enough to bring out Trash Can Man and Gary on the score. Wow.
Hi, kids. How are you today? I don't want to ask. We all know how you're doing. You're hearing how you're doing every 5 seconds. Check me if I'm wrong on this. We have a bad quarterback, and one way to compensate for said bad quarterback is to run the ball more, and this offensive-minded coach can't figure that out? What am I missing?
I think he just gets into games, and he gets into every next play sort of tantalized by what the next play could be and forgets about the long game.
So
forgets about, you know, maybe we should just invest in some runs here and get our linemen going forward a little bit.
See if I'm connecting dots here. Over and over again, we hear from Matt Nagy after games like this that we need to run the ball more. He's frustrated that it's not happening, despite the fact that he's the guy who gets to choose, RPOs aside. Over and over again, we see him go to pass plays and trust Mitch to make a play down the field. And he even schemes guys open sometimes, or even gets a guy like 17 to squiggle out of a cornerback and get himself open. And Mitch just bombs him wide or rips a throw totally wide to Taylor Gabriel. But over and over again, he keeps giving him the chance to make a play. Does that mean, and we hear the frustration, the over and over again, that all that kind of stuff. Does that mean then, am I led to believe then that Matt Nagy is a true believer in Mitch Trubisky?
He can't be. He's not a football idiot.
Well, then what else is he doing? You know, what else is the plan here? Does he just trust the quarterback that much, regardless of who that quarterback is? We know that's not true because he went into Denver and ran the ball a dozen freaking times inside the 5-yard line, getting an inch each and every time.
But finally scraping the goal line.
Finally getting a touch. So we know that's not true. We know that part of it. He's capable of doing it. He has done it before.
It's not his nature.
So I'm led to believe that, A, it's not his nature, and B, he may really truly believe in Mitch Trubisky's ability to eventually become the quarterback he needs him to be in this offense. And that terrifies me because I just don't see it.
Glenn says, does it make sense for Matt Nagy to voluntarily abdicate play-calling responsibilities to Mark Helfrich? Nagy's shown signs before he got here of being unable to deviate from a predetermined game plan when evidence shows it's not working. He's also shown to be lacking trust in his players with decision-making. It's possible that part of Trubisky's problem is he's spending all of his time on the field trying to figure out what Coach Nagy wants him to do rather than what he should do. Finally, a move like this demonstrates accountability to both players and fans in a big way. My bags are packed to the door in case I need to go immediately to football re-education camp. Nope, not today. Again, we are open to anything and everything to try to get some idea of how to fix what's broken here. And the bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. The Wildcats host Iowa this Saturday at Ryan Field in a Big Ten West matchup. Limited tickets remain. Buy now at nusports.com. Pete in Aurora is on WSCR on a Built Ford Tough Bears Monday.
Hi, just a quick comment on good old Mitch not being able to, when he didn't hit Gabriel on that sideline.
Mm-hmm.
He said he makes that pass all the time in practice. Well, I think I could find 50 high school quarterbacks who could make that pass in practice because they don't have to worry about getting sacked or there's no contact. It's protect the quarterback. But game day is a little different. He's got to not only focus on his runner, his receiver, he's got to focus on who's coming at him. And yesterday he was, and has been since he was put on the team, he's been a deer in headlights.
Or as Joe Carter used to say, a deer with headlights.
It's a dangerous animals.
Yes, one of my all-time favorite malaprops.
Already a bad matchup, deer versus car. But deer with headlights versus car, that's not one you're going to win often.
I need from you a single-digit number.
Give me 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Caller 5 to the contest line, 312-591-6700, will attend tomorrow night's Bears Radio After Dark event with Roquan Smith at Carmine's on Rush, brought to you by Alex Dana's Rosebud Restaurant Group, Lakeshore Recycling Systems, and by TimberTech. David and Gurney, you are on the score.
Hello, hello. Matt Nagy is playing arena football. That's where he came from. That's why he can't run the ball. I was a season ticket holder to the Chicago Rush for about 5 years, 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you something. When they had to run the ball in arena football, it was a goal line stance, and that ball went in there on 4 attempts. It usually got in there in 2 attempts. They can't run the ball. Why can't they run the ball? It's very simple football. Offensive line pushes defensive line backwards. That's all you got to do, and you open up a hole. If the running back doesn't have a hole to run into, you run to the outside. Why is that not an option? But he's playing arena football. It's 100 yards. It's not 50 yards. You're not going to get the ball back in a few minutes. They're going to eat the clock up like they did yesterday. Okay, you got some big guys up there. Defensive-wise, what do you need in the middle? You need some luggage in the middle. You need anywhere between 650 to 750 pounds in the middle. You can't move that around. You can't run through it.
I love that he's got to count it.
Yes.
You can't run through it. You know, they tried that with Garrett Wolf, you know, against the Williams brothers in Minnesota. 650 pounds, 670 pounds, he bounces off of them. So what do? We tried to run the same play twice. Didn't work.
Thank
it's
you,
the same
David.
Thing. Tarik Cohen is a great athlete. They toss him around like a sack of potatoes. Did you watch the game yesterday? People grab him, and they're tossing him.
Thank you, David. We're getting a football lesson.
Go Bears!
That's what we're getting. We're getting schooled in the art of football today.
Here's something that I think you and I probably would do well to remember, too. This season is different from last. The reluctance to run the ball is different from last season. Jordan Howard had 250 rushing attempts in 2018.
Yep.
That was the 6th most in the NFL. Adrian Peterson, Todd Gurley, David Johnson, Saquon Barkley, Ezekiel Elliott, those were the running backs that had more carries than Jordan Howard last year. For everybody screaming, Jordan Howard. He had 250 carries last season. Something has changed. Utterly and completely changed. The idea that we'd heard that David Montgomery was the guy that Matt Nagy really wanted to have, and yet you can't find him touches. And the guy that he didn't even want to have, Jordan Howard, had 250 touches last season. What the hell do you do with that?
I don't want to miss out on this call. This is Tom in Aurora on Sports Radio 670.
Hey, guys. How you doing? I'll make this real brief. I grew up with Randy Melvin, who was a D-line coach for the Patriots. He coached under Bill Belichick also in Cleveland. We grew up together, met in 1968 during the segregation rules and whatnot. I went on to be a boxer in the Navy. And, of course, he's up for the Hamilton Wildcats D-line coach, and they're about to win the Grey Cup.
Okay, cool.
So much for keeping it short.
And I was a boxer in the Navy, and I think these boys are kind of spoiled. When you want to talk, cool. I only lost four fights out of 120. When you talk about getting hit in the mouth and hit the gut, I think they're kind of punks.
Okay, cool.
Thanks for your call. They're overpaid, and they're not, well, once they get paid, they get up off it. I'll listen for your answer.
This is awesome.
Thank you for calling from 1995.
Wow.
This is awesome. This is everything I wanted today to be.
Yes.
This is the Bears running game in caller form.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
It's performance art.
I want to quit. I want to quit the calls after one call. I am Matt Nagy. I want to put the ball in the air.
A texter here says, take a call from a Bob. Okay. In St. Louis, it's Bob on the score. Bob. Hi, Bob.
Hello?
Yep. It's all you.
Let's talk about Trubisky's mental well-being. I mean, this guy looks like he's battling some mental illness over there with that look in his eyes. Looks like he's seeing shadow people. Looks like he doesn't want to be there
be playing. Wait. Yes, what the hell are shadow people?
So these schizophrenias, when they got schizophrenia, you always see their look in their eyes. They're kind of oatmeal north of the eyebrows.
Asking. Yeah, we're good. I regret asking. That's on me.
So you're diagnosing schizophrenia. Oh, you're diagnosing psychosis from the look in his eyes?
He's got the feel and the look, yeah. I mean, like, he's looking to the left. He's looking to the right. He's looking over his shoulder.
May I ask what your clinical background is?
I'm a truck driver.
Perfect. I love you, Bob. Thank you for calling.
Go Bears!
Shadow people.
The clay people, they're coming too.
I didn't know.
The village people.
I didn't know. I didn't know.
More of this.
Oh, so much more.
So much. And a chance to win $1,000 in cash is next on the score.
I'm just delighted.
It's time for your chance to win $1,000 in cash on the score. This hour's keyword is base. BASE.
Ah, okay, I was going to ask.
BASE. Text BASE to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is BASE to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Please don't text and drive. Message and data rates may apply. Top of the hour, we're going to have Rich Campbell joining us. After that, though...
Uh-huh.
I've been crying through this entire break, not just because of that magnificent last segment of Chicago radio.
Thank you all.
But Rick Camp has come up with something. Do you remember the day that Terry started referring to Mark Trestman as Dr. Death?
Vividly.
Remember that day where it's just like because he killed Bears football, yep. And then from there on in, he was Dr. Death?
Of course.
Well, Rick has noticed something that has resulted in something similar regarding the Bears quarterback. And he said, you want to do this? You want to pull the pin on this grenade?
I'm going to go ahead and bet it's not a doctor of anything.
And my answer was, oh, dear God, yes. And we're going to do it after Rich Campbell because I think we have to.
We're doing this.
I think it's our responsibility to do such a thing.
All right.
But the phone lines continue, and I built Ford Tough Bears Monday. They are blinking, and they are very, very angry. In Kenosha, Wisconsin, Jason is on the score.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for giving us a chance to vent our frustrations. I certainly appreciate it. You know, at the end of the first half, the Saints coach, Peyton, he told us everything we didn't need to know about what the league thinks of this offense. He throws the ball three straight times with a minute and a half left. The Bears have no timeouts. I mean, most teams with a lead in that position that are getting the ball back in the second half are going to run on third down and take some time off the clock, but they didn't care. They didn't care because they knew nothing would come of it. Matt Nagy is a fraud. He really is. He doesn't design plays well. He's running screens that are not blocked up. He's just trying to play all these games, and it's just not working. And Trubisky cannot hit a throw between defenders to save his life. This is an epic fail.
Jason, appreciate you.
Go Bears!
The last part's right. Mitch can't hit it. But they schemed open receivers last year with a slightly better offensive line. I don't know.
I mean, listen, the evidence is slowly melting away, and it's becoming more and more difficult to defend Matt Nagy with the fact that he's with what he's put out there the last couple of weeks, especially after a bye week like that. But I hesitate to throw him out with the rest of it because of what you did see last season. It's an offense that, despite its struggles in the last 6 to 8 weeks of the year, and they did have struggles. They had a whole bunch of struggles. Not scoring 20 points, not putting the ball in the end zone enough, having to rely on that defense way too often. But even the little things of what you saw, the little micro actions here, you saw him getting scheming wide receivers open. And Mitch would bomb a
seam route past
Miller.
And here's the thing. He is still scheming receivers open.
Yeah, I think so.
There are guys open. His hand-picked quarterback, his project, his guy,
yeah,
isn't finding them. Isn't seeing them.
Well, it's not his handpicked project, right? I mean, he came here.
He signed on.
I suppose you'd have to. You can't come over as head coach and say, yeah, this Mitch guy, I don't know.
Yeah, if you think this guy's going to get you fired, you don't come over here.
Probably.
Right?
Yeah, I think that's probably true. Especially when you've got the endorsement of Andy Reid as one of the finest, if not the finest, head coaching prospect I have ever had on my staff.
I mean, that's
the kind of resume he had.
It's our next stop, and Tom is on the score. Hey, Tom.
Hey, good morning. So what we haven't talked about is next Tuesday is the trade deadline. And if we lose on Sunday, we go 3-4. Are we buyers or are we sellers?
Oh, you're not buying. You don't have the capital to buy anything. And right now, you're already, if you look at the records around the NFC, you're pretty much out of this.
Right. So who do we sell?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure that you have an opportunity like a baseball team to make a Chris Sale trade.
No, I don't think so. And I mean, it doesn't work quite like that in the NFL. I don't think you've got the Jalen Ramsey trade on you either. But
Danny Trevathan
is the guy.
He's
an unrestricted free agent after this next year. Roy Robertson Harris is a exclusive rights restricted free agent.
Right, so that's your property.
That's not something you want to get into, but there are some options. I doubt they dabble into much of it because if I'm making the decisions here and calling the shots, I am absolutely 1,000% bringing in competition, hardcore competition for the quarterback spot tomorrow if I can find it. And absolutely going in camp next year. You, regardless of what you're able to salvage here, you are still going to need somebody to push Mitch Trubisky because this defense should be decent enough to let you hang around just a little bit. But like the quarterbacks of the rest of the NFC, listen, Minnesota has Kirk Cousins bouncing back. Aaron Rodgers just had one of the best games of his life, and that's Aaron damn Rodgers.
Matt Stafford is playing
great. He's figuring things out there. Matt Stafford's playing things really well. Those offenses, the new ones, they're coming together, and arrows pointing up.
This is John and Joliet on the score. Hey, John.
Good afternoon, guys. Look, this is the problem. Nagy's got to call Coach Dick up, brings him in the locker room, fires the boy up, grabs Mitch by the grill, and tells him, get it together, punk. Call Bennett. I'll sit down and listen for my answer.
Thanks for the call.
I think you should sit down.
Yeah, I think sitting down
quit
is
quit yelling. You absolutely need to sit.
Next up, it is going to be Rich Campbell. He sat through all of it. He's written about it. He's continuing to cover it. He has been with the Bears for years. He's going to tell us what this day is, because I know it ain't good.
Nope.
But he's going to put it in perspective for us next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.